Today, as we come to the table,
somebody came up to us and said, "You need Jesus." It's like, "Oh, you can tell." You know, "Well, what do I do?" And they tell you, and then God works in your heart, and eventually you give your life to the Lord. When you gave your life to the Lord, you just believed, and suddenly you were born again. So now that that's happened, you're going to go back and now go before you gave your life to the Lord and earn your way back up to what's already happened? Do you see the logical argument here? It's done. You can't now start over and try to earn it. It's finished. Now you simply love and you receive and you follow the Spirit of God. Be free.
Why did Jesus humble himself by taking on human flesh and living a sinless life of selfless ministry, followed by execution in a manner we can't even imagine enduring? Not to mention being forsaken by his own father, and then throwing off the chains of death to rise again. Did he do that so that you could pour yourself into trying to earn your salvation through the law? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. God gave us the law to show us our need for Him. As soon as we choose rebellion, He knew we could never measure up on our own. As Pastor Mark will explain in today's message, He sent Jesus to stand in that gap and cover us in His righteousness. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 3 as he continues his message, Be Free.
Sometimes in the believer's life, you know, this wasn't a lack of love and grace on Paul's part. It was a serious issue that had to be dealt with seriously, and there had to be tough love. And sometimes there are issues that come into our life and the life of the church where tough love is called for. Yes, we want to be gentle the majority of the time. We want to be gracious always. But there's a time we have to say, you know what? You're being foolish right now. It's time for you to repent. Stop what you're doing. And a good father will do that. A good Christian friend will do that. The Lord does that to us. And the word here also comes with an additional meaning of moral defect, or the language does. So his point is what moral deficiency do you have? Is there something in your life that you've allowed in, or maybe a character flaw that has blinded you and deceived you so much that somebody could come along and pull you away from the truth into something that's false? You know the truth. Hold on to it. You know who taught you. You know it came from the Word of God. Why are you listening to this new person with this new stuff that you can't find in the Bible? They're putting you back under bondage. Be free. That's what Paul's saying. And look at the language. He says, not only are they foolish, they're bewitched. Again, he says, who's bewitched you? It's a very interesting word. It means to give someone the evil eye. You ever heard that? Giving them the evil eye, right? And the evil eye is this picture of what a serpent does when they're trying to lure their prey, right? They get them kind of hypnotized and locked in, and then they come in, you know, and they take over. It means to give someone the evil eye. It means to cast a spell over them. It means to fascinate in the sense of holding someone spellbound by an irresistible power, like a serpent would its prey. There's something about trying to follow the law that is alluring to the flesh. I think because it makes us feel like we're doing something, so we have to be earning something and we're getting more righteous. We're more spiritual than the next guy. Hey, he wears a prayer shawl over his head when he prays. Maybe he's more spiritual than I am. Hey, well, they observe the feast. Well, maybe I need to observe the feast. I need to be as spiritual as they are. Look, nothing wrong, as we said, observing the feast if you're doing it for learning purposes and just to celebrate with Israel. But if you think you've got to observe the feast to go to heaven, if you think you have to follow the law or, as Paul said, be circumcised, that's where you're in error. That's where you're off course. And that's where Paul is so firm here. One commentator put it this way. He said, well, this bewitching indicates, among other things, a harmful magic exercised with no particular technique. That is, they're just using whatever they can. That somehow you're being pulled into this and you don't even recognize it. You don't even know how it's happening. And Paul's point is, how could you fall for this? I mean, the only thing I can explain, Paul would say, is that somebody put a spell on you. You've got a spell on you. Now, he doesn't mean they've got a real witchcraft spell. He's making a point. It's like that. He's like, snap out of it. You know, this whole thing, I don't know whether or not hypnotism is real. You see these people hypnotized and they say bark and they bark and do all that. I don't know about that. But either way, And then they, but what, how they get it? Well, I clap. You're going to come. You know, they come out of it. You know, it's like, I'm not a monkey or whatever. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it's like Paul saying, snap out of it. Wake up. You've been hypnotized. Somebody cast a spell on you. And yet there's so many people today still within the church that act this way. They still think they've got to earn something. And maybe you're one of them. Again, my heart is to so discourage you in your efforts that you'll just let it go. I want you to try to shovel some snow in a road that can't be covered. I want you to try to put buckets of water in the ocean when it's empty, trying to fill it up. That's my goal this morning. Because if I can frustrate you enough in your efforts, you're going to start loving life. You're going to start enjoying Jesus, and you're going to walk in freedom. And you say, but if I do that, I'll never be motivated. Will I ever serve? That mean we're not supposed to serve? Does that mean we don't heed the word of God? No, what happens is your motivation now comes out of love and amazement. You're motivated from love and amazement. It's like, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord, it wasn't like showing up at the church going, I've got to be here because I better do some stuff to make God happy, even though I had some things that had to be readjusted when I got saved. My life was so dark when I got saved. I was so thankful. It depends on where you came from in your salvation experience. But if you were in total darkness like me when you got saved, the light was so amazing. The hope was so wonderful. The joy was so real. Nobody had to say, you know, you really need to, if you're going to please God, you need to be in fellowship and you need to be serving. You couldn't keep me away. You couldn't keep me from church. You couldn't keep me from serving. But I wasn't in church and serving because I thought, well, I better please God now. I loved him and he loved me and we loved each other. It's a relationship. Again, think about when you first met your bride or your husband. And I know we go through different moods and different changes and time and feelings and all. I get all that. But go back to when you first met your spouse. Nobody said to you, look, I know you think this girl's beautiful and she's a real knockout to you. She's all you can think about. You need to call her. And I encourage you to say, number two, here's your counseling. Number two, talk to her some. You need to talk to her. Nobody had to tell me that with Tracy. Nobody had to tell me to talk to her. Nobody had to tell me to call her. I used to walk around the neighborhood. You guys know we were little kids. She knows it now. She knew it then. But I'd walk around the neighborhood and just look at her house. I'd look at the window and say, she's in there. And she didn't know all this, man. She probably today I'd be, creeper! He's a stalker. Yes, but I'll be a pastor one day, trust me. I wasn't peeking in her windows. Don't get the wrong picture, okay? I would just walk by and go, there she is. And she didn't like me at first. We won't get into that. But anyway, I kept creeping long enough where she finally opened the door up. But he says here, look, you've seen Jesus clearly portrayed. Notice that he says this, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. He said, who's taking that away? I love this wording here for clearly portrayed because what it describes is, it describes to post something, like to post something up. Say we talk about online, you posted something. It's the same thing. They didn't have internet back then, but it was the idea of putting it up on a billboard. Putting it up for everyone to see. And what Paul said, I came to Galatia and I put it on a billboard. I put it on billboards all over the Galatia region. Jesus Christ crucified, him alone. You believed, you received, you were born again. And now these guys show up and tear all the billboards down and say, nope, all that's wrong. Let's start over. He goes, what is wrong with you guys? You know what's true. Why are you reverting back? You clearly saw this. You know that it wasn't through the law. And so, again, you can't go back to that. Now, again, we need to give this balance. And what do I mean by that? This doesn't mean that we don't use the word of God as a guide for our life. It doesn't mean that we don't ask God to make us holy and try to walk with the Lord. I'm not saying put your Bible away. Your Bible is your guide. It shows you how God wants you to live. But there's a different way to serve the Lord and follow the Bible and seek him when it's motivated out of love and a response as compared to, I better do this or I'm in trouble. You see the difference? And so they were trying to say, you better do this or you're in trouble. No, don't talk about doing this or you're in trouble. It's a response to what he's done and wanting, and just because you love him, not because you're earning something, but because again, you want to be close to him. And look at verse 2, he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What a great question. And quite honestly, this question should just seal it for everybody. If you just stop and think about this question for a moment and you're thinking there's something you have to do to earn your way to God or please him or whatever the case might be, go to church this many times or do this that many times or do whatever, this should set you free. And why do I say that? Because what Paul is saying is, and again, note this tone of parental rebuke here when he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive it by the works of faith or by hearing? He's like, you're so smart, then answer me this. He says, by the very question here, it shows the foolishness and error of what they're doing. It's a very logical question that asks a hard to avoid, a hard to avoid answer, basically. And that is, notice he says, did you receive the gift of the Spirit in your life with Jesus by going to get it and obeying rules and trying to do nice things, so to speak, or by the outpouring of the Spirit? Think about that. Again, the answer is found in the question. The fact that the Holy Spirit was simply given to them when they believed demonstrates that they had no part in this whatsoever other than receiving it, showing the foolishness of thinking they earned it somehow and went out to get it. And again, as I said, this question should answer it for all of us. Again, earthly things can be earned. Spiritual things can't be earned. It's something that happens when you believe. Now, let me ask you this question. Because there may be some of you in the same place the Galatians were in. You've gotten saved. You knew that it was through Jesus. And then some people came along and said, okay, you've given your life to the Lord. Now here's what you need to do. And started loading you down with all these burdensome things that have made you anxious and made you worried and made you... And you're going, how do I resolve all this? Here's the bottom line. When you received Jesus, were you working for him? Were you doing good works at the church? Were you doing good works in the community? Were you spending time in the Word and prayer? Again, maybe some of you came from a religious background where you were doing some of that religiously, but for most of us, we were living like the world in the world. And somebody came up to us and said, you need Jesus. It's like, oh, you can tell. You know, well, what do I do? And they tell you, and then God works in your heart, and eventually you give your life to the Lord. When you gave your life to the Lord, you just believed, and suddenly you were born again. So now that that's happened, you're going to go back and now go before you gave your life to the Lord and earn your way back up to what's already happened? Do you see the logical argument here? It's done. You can't now start over and try to earn it. It's finished. Now you simply love and you receive and you follow the Spirit of God. Be free. It's something that just happens. What you're hearing predominantly in this region were the Gentiles. Galatia was a Gentile region. They'd not grown up with the Bible or what we would call Christian homes. Their experience with Jesus had just been hearing Paul preach the gospel and then a sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit unto salvation. And Paul's reminding them of how their life with God started, and it only magnifies that it was totally a supernatural work they had nothing to do with. It didn't come by rules. It didn't come by regulation. They didn't go first and get circumcised and then start obeying the law and then start going to temple or synagogue, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on them. They were just living their life in sin, and Paul shows up and said, did you know that someone died on the cross for you, that your sins could be forgiven? His name is Jesus. Well, tell us about him and what happened. And then they say, I believe, and then they receive the Holy Spirit, and they're born again. He said, what's changed? What's changed? You can't go back now and make that. It's already happened. You were simply standing there, sitting there, receiving, not doing any special good work. You just heard, you believed, and now why do you feel there's something you can do to add to that? Again, you and I have had nothing to do with our salvation other than believe, and so to start trying now is crazy. That's his point. And notice this, he really nails it home in verse 3. Again, using that same theme of that rebuke of foolishness, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh? See, God started this thing. You're going to somehow finish it? Again, a very logical argument. If God began our entire spiritual journey by awakening us and filling us with the Holy Spirit, are we now going to finish it and make it complete by our personal efforts? And notice he said, not in your earthly efforts, but by your earthly efforts are you going to be made complete. That is, you didn't make it happen. Jesus did. So you're not going to be able to add anything to it. Let me put it another way. If a billionaire felt moved to build you a multi-million dollar home on the beach, then introduce me to them. No, that's not my illustration. Let me get back to this. If a billionaire felt moved to build you a multi-million dollar home on the beach, and they wanted to do it as a gift, they knew you didn't have the money for something like so far beyond your means, it can't be done. And they say, I'm going to, and they lay the foundation, and you're like, okay, great, what an amazing foundation. I've got it from here. You've got it from here. Yeah, I'll do the rest. I really appreciate all your help. This has been so great. There's a great foundation here, but I can do the rest. With what? And it's going to sit there forever and never get done. One day, maybe I don't know. No, you won't. Jesus is the foundation, and the Lord is now building in your life, piece by piece, stone by stone, board by board, building you into the person that he wants you to be, more and more like Jesus, until you enter the kingdom of God and you'll be like the Lord, it says. You won't be God, he alone is God, but you'll be like him in the sense of his purity and his holiness. You can't finish it. It's the same thing as us saying to that billionaire, I'll take it from here. It's impossible. It can't be done. The billionaire started the project, and if it's ever going to get finished, the billionaire is going to have to finish it. Again, the word perfect here means to complete it, which means if someone with greater resources and ability started it for you, then it's going to take them to complete it. That's Paul's point here. Someone greater than you'll ever be or ever be able to be started this, and now they're going to have to finish it. And you've got to somehow learn to relax. And you stop running to get buckets of water to fill up the ocean. Stop trying to do that. It's not going to work. Just relax and enjoy the ocean. You know, the Lord says, I'll fill it up. I'll maintain it. I'll do this. Why are you so foolish? And yet, sadly, many in the church today try to do this. We do it on an individual basis. And you'll see churches sometimes try to do this. God will make a great move in his spirit, and they try to add to it and do all these things, whether it's programs or whatever it might be, to add to the Holy Spirit. Look, there's nothing wrong in different ministries that spring out from the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's not the programs and the things that the church does. It's what the Holy Spirit does and our response to that to let God work through us. That's why, you know, if God moves in something and we feel it's God and it's going for a while, it begins to die, then, you know, let it die. If it's not going anymore, then God's not in it. You know, just let it go. Find out what the Holy Spirit is doing and jump on board with that. Not the methods, not the programs, the things that are oftentimes implemented to try to create life when it's God that gives life. Again, it's not wrong to have fun activities. I want to give balance on that as well. It's not wrong to have, you know, get a couple of lights on stage and do this. It's not wrong having fun in that. But the lights on the stage or a well, you know, practiced worship team or, you know, a well-polished pastor, which you'll probably never have until I'm dead. But the bottom line is no matter how things are put together and how well it is, that doesn't create life. That's not the Spirit. That's just man. What you're hoping is the Spirit's moving through the worship team. What you need is the Spirit moving through your pastor. What you need is the Spirit moving through you. What you need is the Spirit moving through your church so that it's something that God does and you simply respond to it. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. He's saying, you're not going to be perfect in the flesh. You're not going to make this happen. God started it and God's going to have to finish it. And look at he says in verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. In other words, you're choosing to follow Jesus in this day was not easy. The persecution was great, and only those who were serious about Jesus would even claim to be a Christian. Now, today, a lot of people say they're a Christian because still in the South, it may get you some benefits. It may get you a better job. It may get you in whatever, this kind of thing. It's only the South. I know that's not true in other areas. You didn't do that back then, not in the Middle East. If you were a Christian, you were persecuted. Sometimes just emotionally, physically, psychologically, sometimes even put to death. I mean, you realize when I'm making this profession of faith, this might be the end of me. And it's something you knew. And so again, what he's saying to them is, why did you suffer all the verbal, social, emotional, physical things if you're now just going to say that, you know what, none of that mattered. The cross didn't really do it. I'm going to go back to the law. See, if they went back to the law, they wouldn't suffer the persecution. Why? The Jews and Judaism was accepted in the Roman society in that day. They didn't necessarily like it, but they didn't necessarily persecute them. They kind of left them alone. Those crazy Jews, let them do their own thing. Leave them alone. They would die for it. We're not going to kill them. Just leave them alone. Christians were new. They were now separate. They weren't a part of the Jewish community, and they weren't a part of the Roman community or the Gentile community. So all you had was, here we are, and everybody's looking at you going, what do you think you're doing? Oh, all the rest of us are going to hell. You guys have the answer. The persecution began. And so he's saying, you suffered all that just to say now, you know, nah, never mind. Doesn't matter anymore. I mean, it'd be like, you know, traveling somewhere as a missionary and being beaten for your faith and abused for your faith and tortured for your faith and then coming home and saying, you know what, I don't think I want to be a Christian anymore. What? Then why did you go and suffer all that if you're just going to walk away from Christ? Paul's making the point. Was it useless? Was it wasted? You're going to go back to the law and say, forget the cross because it doesn't work? He's telling them if they leave the work of the Holy Spirit and try to finish it themselves, and all the suffering and sacrificing and persecution for Jesus would be in vain and count for nothing for them because they've fallen from grace, which would not only be sad and disappointing while here on the earth, much more so when we stand before the Lord. Can you imagine? And so my heart again today is stop shoveling snow. You can't do it. It would be like getting on an airplane. And you're on the plane, and they're starting to have, you know, they're concerned about the plane, maybe some people on the plane, maybe the whoever, whatever. And all of a sudden, they come over the last week, okay, look, we're a little concerned about the fuel level or maybe some noise we're in the air. I want everybody to flap their arms as hard as they can because we got to get this thing to the ground. So just begin, and you guys do it first. If y'all get tired, we'll move to this side. Everybody keep flapping their arms. We got to get this thing to where it's going to land. You sit there looking at each other, we're all going to die. That's what you'd be thinking. Really flap your arms. What are you talking about? And if you saw people start doing it, they just start smacking each other, knocking each other's head around. You'd be like, is that not what happens to the believer that tries to live by the law? They start smacking everybody around them. They're flapping their arms. Look how I'm living. Look, you, shame on you. And they're judging everybody because they haven't learned to say, look, you're not flying this plane. You're not the pilot of this thing. Jesus Christ is the pilot. He's the one that took this plane off. He's the one that got me on this plane. And he's the one that's going to take me to my safe destination. I don't have to flap my wings, arms. I don't have wings. You get the point. And when you get around those that are following the law, that's all they do is beat up other Christians. Their arms are flailing and they're beating other Christians. Guys, listen. Relax. Drop the shovel. Drop the bucket. Stop flapping your arms. And just say, you know what, Lord? I really can't do this at all. It is absolutely impossible. I agree. I guess I kind of thought that I was able to do this. And so I was really trying. But I can't. That's freedom. If you realize that and you let it go, you're going to be free. And you're going to have joy because you know what happens when you fail? Yep, I failed. And I don't like that. But I know I'm still his kid. I know he still loves me. And I know I'm not trying to earn anything. I just want to learn to walk more like him. But you're not defeated when you fail. You have an understanding. Okay, I can't do this. But then you go to the Lord. I need you to help me do this. I don't want to be this way anymore. Please change me. And as you begin to seek him and begin to love him and begin just to be with him in a relational way rather than a religious way, in a just response rather than a works or law way, you're free. Let it go. Don't hang on to it. And I want to do one last thing. And I'm not one of those, I can't say I've ever, never done it because I don't remember. But I'm going to end with something I can't remember ever doing. I'm not one of those repeat after me pastors, but I'm going to say something out loud today because this was in my heart today. And I think it's the Lord. You know, when we give an opportunity for people to give their life to the Lord, oftentimes I'll say, look, raise your hand, just raise it up, put it down, that kind of thing. Because I believe it's not so we can count them and go, whatever. I think there's a release that comes with that. There's something, when we do something physically to say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus, whether it's walking down front, raising a hand, whatever the case might be, it releases our faith. It helps us to finally make that step. Well, I believe the same thing can be true when it comes to believing what the Word of God says and just verbalizing what it is that God's trying to put in our hearts this morning. And I believe what God, overall, in looking at these verses 1-5, if I could sum it up, besides being free, it would be this other statement: I can't do it. I can't do it. So I'm going to ask us all to say together, and you don't have to, and if you think we're weird, you don't have to come back. But I'm going to all say all together, I want you to verbalize that. I can't do it, because some of you think you can, and you're still trying, and I want you to rest. Let it go. Stop worrying about how much time you're in the Word, how much time in prayer, did you serve enough, I failed against, let it go. He knows that we're going to fail. He knows our weaknesses. He's paid for it all. I'm not excusing that. We don't just let ourselves go because now we know he's taking care of it. No, we seek the Lord and say, God, help me to be more like you. But we don't sweat it. We turn it over to him. And so I want us all to say this together. I'm going to count to three. I can't do it. 1, 2, 3. I can't do it. Just for my sake, one more time. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I can't do it. But Jesus can.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Galatians. If you missed any part of this broadcast on Come to the Table, or you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table. You can also join us on Facebook. You can get the latest information, along with some inspiration and encouragement for your newsfeed. There's a link at thewaymedia.net. Our expository teachings through Galatians touch on good and relevant topics such as faith versus works and how to work through differences like race and ethnicity. Hot topics that are hitting our culture today like never before. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during this study. We ask that you'd pray for our nation, for the culture around us, and that God would work in the lives of followers and those who are yet to follow him. please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know Him to hear this program so that they can find hope in Jesus. Pray that each listener would have open ears and soft hearts. We know the message of Jesus can transform lives and mend the differences that so many are struggling with. So thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord, and we hope you can join us as we continue exploring the book of Galatians the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.